This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to feel God's heart in reference to the Jewish people in Israel. And I have on the telephone Jim Gall. I've got a copy of his book, which I personally endorsed on the cover. It's called Exodus Cry. And this book, if you do not have a Jewish heart at this time in history, that's dangerous. I can tell you, you'll get it from reading this book. Now, on yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about a prophetic word that Jim heard about the coming persecution of Jewish people, in particular Russian Jews. And 6 weeks later, Cindy Jacobs in England, without knowing this, had the identical type of word, perhaps even stronger. And then the prophetic council, led by Dr. Peter Wagner, summarized these prophetic words as to what the prophets see coming. Jim, would you tell me basically what that summary statement was?
I'd be glad to. It was 6 months later then, while we were at the World Prayer Movement gathering, the World Congress on Intercession in Colorado Springs. You know, the scriptures say that God will confirm his word by the witness of 2 and 3. So here you had the audible voice that came from me that you mentioned, that the Lord gave me. You have the prophetic encounter from Cindy Jacobs. And then we have this convergence of many different prophetic voices coming together. And Dr. C. Peter Wagner, then this respected missiologist and theologian, then summated this to where he basically stated, gave a strong warning the last night of this convocation. The fear of the Lord came into the room. The intensity, the presence of God was just like, as they say, so thick you could cut it with a knife. And Peter Wagner warned that anti-Semitism in Russia and other nations would soon escalate to the point to where it would require an immediate response from the church in prayer to help open a window of escape for those who feel called to leave and protection for those who were called to stay. And then we went into intense intercession as a result of that. It was just like a time bomb went off in our midst. And this crisis intervention, an explosion of intercession just really blew across the room.
And, you know, what I find interesting is I have just last month got a hold of the latest statistics from the Anti-Defamation League that anti-Semitism is accelerating since 9/11 dramatically in the United States, of all places.
You know, let me say something about that. It brings me to another encounter, and it was the morning of 9/11. I was not aware of what had happened. And the Holy Spirit comes to me again the morning of 9/11 and says to me, the hunters have just been released. I didn't know what that was about. Then I go and I turn on the television and I see, as everyone else did, the crashing of the Twin Towers. And I just want to say that that itself was an act of the demonic anti-Semitism, demonic powers of darkness that were unleashed at that time. And those were hunters themselves. New York City being the largest Jewish city in the world, and the hunters, that was an act of the hunters being released at that hour.
Now, what we're referring to, Mishpucha, is something written thousands of years ago by the Jewish prophet Jeremiah. And you might want to turn to that. I'm going to be reading that from the 16th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 14 through 16. Let me read this right now. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he has driven them, for I will bring them back to their own land that I gave to their fathers. Then the 16th verse tells how. Behold, I'm sending for many fishers, declares the Lord, and they shall catch them. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and every hill and out of the clefts of the rocks. Now, Jim, explain what I've just read. Who are the fishers? Who are the hunters? What is the prophet saying?
Yes. Well, as in much of prophecy, there is multiple layers of fulfillment of it. And throughout different periods of time of history, there have been waves of fishermen followed by waves of hunters. So let's try to define the words fishermen. Those are those who go before. We would use today in the New Testament terminology a forerunner anointing, like John the Baptist, who goes the way and tries to blow a trumpet, release a warning, and prepare the way to awaken a people to respond to the word of the Lord or to God. And in this case, the fishermen, like say in the 1800s, could have been Theodore Herzl with the first Zionist World Congress to call forth a land for the Jewish people to go to that was held in Basel, Switzerland. Or perhaps it could be like Joseph Rabinovich that was a forerunner again in the late 1800s. And I was in this very land of Kishinev, Moldavia, where he becomes awakened and sees Yeshua as his Messiah. And he becomes a forerunner. And he calls forth and 40 ultra-Orthodox Jewish families become completed Jews, and they began what was the Israelites of the New Covenant. So we have fishers who go before. A lot of this today is the prayer movement, who is going before and speaking. But then on the heels of those who do not come forth volunteering, then comes the hunters. In Russian history, it's the pogroms. Of course, in the German history and European history, it's the Holocaust. In the earlier, it's the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisitions, where they're hunted down, literally killed, slaughtered. Today, again, in this generation, fishermen are being raised up, blowing trumpets of warning, trumpets of preparation. But on the heels, the hunters, once again, are being released.
You know, some of the history that you have in the book, few Christians have ever seen this, because what the devil did is, in the name of institutional Christianity, in the name of sacred symbols like the cross, the worst atrocities have occurred to Jewish people in all of history. For instance, I've been reading a little lately on the Spanish Inquisition.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, that was another thing. I stumble into things somehow, and by God's grace, and so maybe some of you out there listening, you'll relate to me, because I literally just stumble into truth and revelation. And in this whole period of time, you see, and even the founding for the New World, this is right in the period of time of the Spanish Inquisition. The Jews either were forced to convert to, quote, I'm going to call it religious churchianity. I don't even want to call it Christianity.
It's a semantical problem, because even this fellow Constantine in around the 300s,
yes,
A.D., he changed Christianity from a vital
intimacy with the living God through Jesus, the King of the Jews, to an institutional, religious, dry, dead political machine.
And that is the problem, and that's why also so many Jewish people, it's hard for them to see that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. And part of it is because of the church's stains and spots of in our history. And so we have put roadblocks in the way, and somehow we need to become enlightened. We need to become humble. We need to become truth bearers. We need to own up to the truth. And we need to see that much of the church is laden with a political spirit, and we need to act in the opposite of this.
Tell me a bit about what you found out in the in reference to the Spanish Inquisition. For instance, I was amazed, I've never known this before, about the three influential Spanish Jews that literally underwrote Columbus's voyage in return for an agreement.
Yes, this is all very fascinating. You know, by reading, I dove myself. I read 20 at least books in preparation for writing of this book, at least 20 books. And I found that there was the funding of Christopher Columbus and to the New World. This in part, I'm not saying in totality, in part, was to find a place of refuge where these Jews could flee to. The term that's used today is the Sephardic Jews.
Which is another name for Spanish Jews,
for
from Spain.
Spanish Jews who, and then today their names have been altered. The names could be Hernandez or Sanchez or something like this. And they had to flee for their lives because of this persecution. Again, just even St. Teresa of Avila, that's written up in church history. I have been reading about her life, and I have found that she was actually Jewish in her background, but like many people, it was hidden. They would change their names so as to hide their Jewish identity, or because they either were forced to be killed if they claimed their identity, or they were forced to be baptized. Baptized into what? Baptized into a political religious system. But the thing is, Jesus is not this. Jesus is a living reality. Jesus is a personal God who loves us, and he wants you to know him in a personal way. So whether we're dealing with the church history, the Spanish Inquisition, or many other things, I just want to make sure that one thing is real solid and clear in all of our minds. Listen, Jesus is good. God is good. We have a Heavenly Father, and he loves you, and he wants our eyes to become enlightened to the past so as, by God's grace, not to continue to fulfill some of this bad history.
Oh, we're out of time, Jim. Hold the thought. Mishpocha, his book, Exodus Cry, $14 postage paid. Tommy Tenney says, read it and act. I believe God says, read it and act. $14, Exodus Cry. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpocha, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime the same number, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send $5 to Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to our past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord.